Yes, that's totally fine. All right, good. We got like four groups now. This is perfect. All right, so today we're going to be in Genesis 22, verses 1 through 19. Last week, does anyone remember what happened? What we talked about last week?
I think I'm here.
I think you were. What'd you say? Yes, Isaac. Abraham and Sarah had been waiting so long to have this child named Isaac, right? And finally, Isaac is born after all this crazy stuff happens. Right, God's promise to Abraham and Sarah finally comes true. Isaac is born. They have their son in their old age, right? And it's their only child together, all right? And we got to see that God is faithful even in the midst of, like, unbelief and distractions. And then finally, Abraham has this son, Isaac, okay? And in our passage today, we're going to see that God is going to ask Abraham to do something really difficult, all right? So let's read this passage. I'm going to read this passage if you have your Bible or your phone. You can follow along. Genesis 22, 1 through 19.
Wait, how do you find that page?
That page?
Yeah, like if you were to have a physical Bible, how would you find the page?
Can I show you after?
Okay.
That'll be a good lesson. All right.
Is there a table of contents?
There is a table of contents, yeah.
Oh, is that how people find it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll show you after. We'll do
is
some.
Is there a page number?
Well, it depends on the Bible. Like, different Bibles have different page numbers.
No.
Okay, Genesis 22, 1 through 19. This is what happens after Abraham and Sarah have their son Isaac, okay? After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham, here I am," Abraham answered. And then God says, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his young men, and his son Isaac. He split wood for a burnt offering and set out to go to the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship. Then we'll come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. In his hand, he took the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, "My father." And Abraham replied, "Here I am, my son." Isaac said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Then the two of them walked on together. When they arrived at the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." Abraham replied, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me." Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." So today it is said, "It will be provided on the Lord's mountain." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, this is the Lord's declaration. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son, I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your offspring will possess the city gates of their enemies. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring because you have obeyed my command." Abraham went back to his young men, and they got up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham settled in Beersheba. All right. If you had a hard time following along, it was kind of a long passage. Abraham and Sarah had the son Isaac. And then God says to Abraham, I don't remember what God says to Abraham. Yes, Jackie?
Never mind.
Yep. Damien, did you ever hear him?
Definitely didn't.
God says to Abraham, "Abraham, take your son, Isaac, your only son, and go and offer him up as a burnt offering on this mountain."
What does that mean?
As a sacrifice.
So you would burn him and then give it to the people?
No, they weren't going to necessarily give him to anyone, but yes, they were going to kill him.
Let's say you're God and you ask for, like, my favorite, I don't know, axe as a burnt offering. Would I light my axe on fire till it's charred?
Well, this is going to be our first question to talk about in your groups, okay? I'm going to give you like 2-3 minutes to talk about this question. Why would God ask Abraham to offer his son as a burnt offering?
No.
All right, no, talk about it in your groups. Talk about it in your groups. And then come talk to me.
No, duh.
I have Bibles here if anyone wants a Bible. So.
The question was, wait, could you repeat the question?
Why would God offer his son as a... Why would God ask Abraham to offer his son as a... Yes. 1 through 19. Why would God ask Abraham to offer his son as a burnt offering?
You know, I just can't read.
To offer Isaac as a burnt offering.
Wait, 22.
1 through 19.
Wait a minute. Hold on. If you have the Bible, I'm going to...
This is like the worst game of telephone ever.
Well, hold on. If you have a Bible, I'm going to go put this back there.
No, just keep it, man. Yeah, hold on to it. Yeah, then you can all look at it.
Chapter 22, page 14. The sacrifice of Isaac. Those headings are the same.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we didn't read all of that. We read Silas read a lot of good chunk.
I think we read all of it.
I'm really convinced that Silas...
I think we did. Silas, did we read the whole thing?
Did we read all of 22?
Just 1 through 19.
I think... I'm just going to say... I don't know if this is true or not, but my mind is...
1 through 19.
I think you're the vessel of Jesus.
Just skip the... Now, like how Jesus told Abraham,
we'll talk about that after, but
Jesus' mind is in you right now.
Well, all of us who trust Jesus have the Holy Spirit, but we can talk about that after. Focus on this question. You're getting somewhere, Richie. You're getting somewhere.
I just realized it's the force, like religion.
Depends on the movie.
All right, start wrapping it. I know it's not a long time, but... All right. Let's see. My group... We're going to start Damien. Damien, Richie. Did you guys talk about it? What did you guys talk about? Why did...
I said maybe it was a test to see if Abraham really did love his son and that he was willing to sacrifice.
It was a test to see if Abraham loved his son.
Yeah.
All right.
That and also to see if Abraham was willing to listen to God to that extent.
To that extent, yeah, sure. Thank you, group up front. Group left side, my left side. Yeah. Yeah, an ultimate, it was like an ultimate test of faith because this was, Abraham's most loved person in his life, right? And someone who he waited for years and didn't even believe that he'd really have a son at points, right? Yeah. Thanks, Gio. Team back middle.
Said
that it was suggested to the second God's feet. both on like if he really did trust God and also like how Isaac trusted his father because he didn't really like run away or anything.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so it was a test of Abraham, but also in a sense, kind of testing Isaac to see if he trusted just the plan of whatever was going on. Yeah, sure. Team over here.
Team over here.
Yep. No, just over here. All right. Maybe I'll upgrade you if you answer beautifully. Mm-hmm. Oh, the question is, why would God ask Abraham to sacrifice, to offer his son up as a burnt offering?
To know if he's willing to go through pain to commit to God, to him, and if he's willing to sacrifice to the Father.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Pretty much everyone said up here, team up front, everyone pretty much said, like, it was a test of Abraham's loyalty, right? Like, how, what would he actually be faithful to God, no matter like whatever God asked him to do, right? That's kind of what we all said. And I think that that's definitely part of it. I think that's definitely true. Like, and something we also need to note is like in that time, in that place, especially where Abraham was, the sacrifices, like people offered sacrifices. We don't really offer sacrifices now, right? Like that's kind of a weird thing. It's kind of like a, like we saw that would be like something weird's going on. But that was a pretty normal thing back then to offer sacrifices to their gods, to show their faithfulness, to show their loyalty, and to try to be rewarded. Like the people would sacrifice to their gods so that their gods would be good to them. And people would give all different kinds of sacrifices. They would like do their food, crops, animals, and even there's a point where people would offer up child sacrifices to their gods. And it's a terrible thing, right? And so first we need to note that this wasn't really an outrageous or like unheard of thing for Abraham. Like this is something that he'd probably heard of people offering up children as sacrifices to their gods.
What did they do?
To try to earn favor of who they believed their gods were.
Okay,
you may. So Abraham's God, Yahweh, right? That might have been a thing that Abraham might have thought that he could have potentially asked Abraham to do. And sure, right, it was definitely difficult for Abraham. That would have been a difficult task, but it wasn't super out of left field. It wasn't super outrageous for that. And so yeah, maybe God wanted to test Abraham, but I think that's true that God maybe did want to test Abraham and see his faithfulness. But also I think we see something else as the story moves on. I think we see something else that even is more important than testing Abraham's faith. I think we see something else that's more important. So we're gonna get that to in a second. But first, let me read verses 6 through 8 again, and then I'm going to ask you another question, all right? Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. In his hand, he took the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, "My father." And Abraham replied, "Here I am, my son." Isaac said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. For the burnt offering, my son." Then the two of them walked on together. So Abraham says, Isaac's like, "Where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham says, God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. How, talk about this in groups. How do you think Abraham might have thought that God would provide for them during this time? How might God have provided? All right, go ahead and talk about that. How might have Abraham thought that God would provide? Yeah. Take it however you want. Maybe both, Zaire.
He is really helpful.
Answer both of those questions. There we go. So like, you got it. How do you think Abraham thought God would provide? Because he says God will provide a lamb for the offering. How do you think God, like, yeah.
Yeah.
How is God going to provide for Abraham and Isaac? Because Abraham said,
are you saying if they didn't make the sacrifice?
Well, Abraham says God will provide for us a lamb. So what do you think Abraham's talking about when he says God will provide? Yeah, so Abraham, I reread part of it.
Okay.
Abraham, Isaac is like, Dad, where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So how does Abraham think that God is going to provide?
Yeah, but if you provided the lamb, why would you kill the lamb?
Go ahead and take it into any direction you want.
I give you my lamb. Kill the lamb and give that to me.
Burn it in fire.
Give it my soul. Don't give it. Give me its soul.
Yeah.
Give me its soul so I can turn it into a little.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to give you like 30 seconds. 30 seconds.
2 minutes.
We'll start over here.
We're going to hit
him. Okay. Why don't you refrain?
Well, no, I have a pretty funny atheist joke.
Well, maybe refrain from, yeah. Sometimes jokes can be funny, but be at people's expense and hurtful, you know? But what if someone is? Not everyone who comes to church believes in Jesus. Maybe someone isn't religious.
Is that like a music creator shirt?
Oh, yeah.
This is a shirt of my favorite soccer team, their jerseys throughout time.
Wait, do you have a video?
I'm going to talk about that after this. Team left side. Team my left side.
Team pretty.
Team pretty.
Hey, team handsome.
What's up? What do we think over here?
Okay, so he says that...
Damien, this is important.
We don't think it was just, like, the lamb really that they were, like, confident. Or that Abraham was, like, saying that God would provide for them.
Mm-hmm.
We think it was, like, a bigger, like, pictures. And that because, like, the ram showed up, like, out of nowhere, just, like, dead, like, God will, like, provide for them. In ways that they don't even know.
Mm. So it was bigger than just like, oh, God's going to provide a lamb, but it was like God will provide no matter what the situation is.
Yeah.
Even if there's not a lamb, God will provide some other way. Yeah. Team, a back front, right? Is that what I called you? Uh-huh.
Back front.
Back
center.
Back center? Back front. Team, I'm changing your team name. You're team back front now.
Wait, no, change it to team center back.
No, that's good.
We're team cringe.
What do we think back here?
He said that it could either be that, like, he did truly believe that God would provide something else, or that he was, like, convinced that God would provide something else. But there could also be that, like, he only said that so that Isaac would believe that God would send something, and that he wouldn't realize that it was him who was going to do the sacrifice and go back.
To kind of bring comfort to Isaac? Mm-hmm. Sure. Thank you, team.
Wait.
Team.
How old is Isaac at this time?
I'm not exactly sure, but I believe he's still young.
I've always seen him depicted as like Lord Teen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, can we kinda talked up here? Right? Did you guys want to share anything else?
No.
Then let's listen to team. Are you ready, team?
Team right.
Team right.
Yeah, but.
Wait, listen up to Zaire. Zaire's talking.
You want to repeat the question?
Why did...
Deleted, man.
How might Abraham have thought that God would provide?
I feel like we were talking about basically what I said is like that Abraham had to completely believe in God's word, like completely trust in it and have faith in it, no matter like how impossible it might seem. Like having to sacrifice his son, even though God promised to have great, that Abraham would have great descendants and everything. So it would be like, no matter the logic about it, he had to trust God. No matter what.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you hit on a really good point there too. Right, God promised that through Abraham's son Isaac, he would have many, many descendants. And then God all of a sudden asks Abraham to sacrifice his son, who doesn't have any children. And so if Isaac was going to die, how was Abraham going to have his descendants that God promised him? I think you guys are kind of hitting on that a little bit, right? And so God had to trust that even if Abraham were to die, God would provide, even in that way bigger picture than just that moment, right? But I think all those things you guys all offered great insight, right? Maybe Abraham thought that God would go back on what he said. He'd say, okay, Abraham, you don't have to sacrifice him, which kind of happens, right? Or maybe Abraham thought that God really would provide an animal instead of Isaac, right? Which God does, right? There's a ram. But also, there's a passage in the New Testament. There's a couple passages that kind of talk about this, that hit on this. The author of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 11, okay? There's a few verses. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son. Abraham was offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. We kind of hit on that over there. He considered that God was able even to raise Isaac from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Maybe Abraham, what the author of Hebrews is saying, maybe Abraham even believed that if Isaac died, God could raise him from the dead. Right? Like, maybe those were all possibilities in Abraham's mind, but he was fully committed. He was fully in, right? Let me read in this passage. Those are all great thoughts. Let me read in this passage just verses 9 through 14 again as we just talk about one last question. When Abraham and Isaac arrived at the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound up his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Abraham replied, here I am. Then he said, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. So today it is said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. So we're going to go, before we talk about our next question, we're going to go back one question when I said, why would God ask Abraham to offer up his son Isaac, right? And I said to really understand this question and to really understand why God asks Abraham to do this, we need to see the whole story. We need to see the whole picture, right? And then as we read this, we see something important. I think God does want to test Abraham, all right? But also God wants to show Abraham, God wants to show us who he is. God wants to demonstrate who he is as he asks Abraham to sacrifice his son. Right, Abraham, as we read these verses, Abraham names the place the Lord, or Yahweh, who's Abraham's God, who is the God, the three in one. The Lord will provide. And as we read more of the story, we actually see a piece of who God is. He is provider. God provides. He is provider. Even when we don't understand how, even when we don't understand like how or when or what, God will provide. That's who he is. And God demonstrates that in this passage. God is provider. God will provide. But I think the author of this passage also wants to show us something else about who God is. All right? Something else about God. God is different than other gods. God is different than other gods of the area. Right? All the people in that time, they all worshipped different deities, to give them different things, like to provide for like rain or sunshine or all different things, or wealth, right? But they do this by the way of sacrifice. People believe that if they sacrificed their crops or animals or even their children, that the gods would be good to them, the gods of the area. But I think the author of the passage wants to show us that God is not like the other gods. Yahweh is not like the other gods. He doesn't require child sacrifice in order to provide for Abraham. But God provides God provides simply because that is who he is. He doesn't provide because of something terrible like child sacrifice happening or something terrible happening to you. But God provides simply because that's who he is, right? God provides in seasons where we have much and in seasons where we have little, simply because that's who he is. God's not like the other gods because all the other gods depend on this relationship where it's like, we're going to give to you and then you're going to give back to us. But no matter what Abraham can give to God, God will provide regardless. And I think that shows us who God is. God is provider, but also that God is not like other gods because he provides simply because that's who he is. He's not transactional like a lot of the other gods. So as we think about that, and we think about, we don't really have like gods like they did back then who like we worship and like we have like temples really built to them and we like have names for them and like different like sculptures. Kind of we do, but to really understand this, we have to think about what are the gods of our day today? What are the things that we worship today? Right? To really understand this passage, we have to think about what do we worship today? Let me give an example, okay? Something that I really cared about in middle school and in high school, and probably still now, but I remember really caring about in middle school, was my Instagram, okay? I loved my Instagram. I was like so obsessed with how many likes I got on Instagram. I was so obsessed with how many comments I got on my Instagram. Like, it made me feel good and right. And so I would do everything I could. I would like pour all this time. I would be on Instagram 24/7 because I worshiped it in a sense. That's what I thought would bring me fulfillment and give me life. I worshiped Instagram. And so in a sense, Instagram was like a god to me because it's something that I thought would provide for me, something that I thought would make my life whole and right. So that's just an example. Let's think about, talk for like 2 minutes, maybe 1.5 minutes, minute, 90 seconds. What are the things that we worship today, that people worship today, that maybe you worship today? What are those things? Go ahead and talk about those. You still got time. It's okay. 30 minutes.
Really?
I don't know. Talk a lot about this.
That just became 45 minutes.
Oh. No, it's like 7 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What are things that people worship?
All right, team left side. What we got? A few things.
We said we came up with three.
Sure.
Main things.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of two go together.
Go ahead.
We said one, like popularity.
Popularity.
The second one was like attention.
Mm-hmm.
And like being noticed.
Yeah.
By, like, other people.
That's unnecessarily bad.
And actually, four things. And then the third thing was like being like good at something, like trying to like show, yeah, like that, and like trying to like show like that you're actually like worth something, even though like you're actually a good God.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth thing that we said is like celebrities, like other people, how they act.
Yeah. Team front, back? Hey, it's okay. What'd you all say?
We said social media,
Yeah. Yeah. No, those were good. Those are good examples. Team up front.
I said nothing because I don't know what the rest of worship except God.
Okay.
We said God. We said also a little bit together in school. So that's grades and everything involved with that.
Uh-huh.
Family. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's big, but the world.
Mm-hmm. Encompasses. Yeah. Yeah. Team right.
Beautiful.
What'd you say?
We do have an end. We
have. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of like other people, right, that we think will make our lives whole, like our reputation, what people think of us, right? Grades in school are like trying to be the best at things. Like we can worship knowledge and having all the knowledge in the world because we think that's going to make us whole. Like all these things, even though we don't like bow down to them physically, they're all things that maybe some of us are all different things that we think maybe are going to make our lives full. And kind of going back to my Instagram, okay, social media, I thought Instagram was going to make me full because I thought other people were going to look at me then and be like, oh, that person's so cool, kind of like my reputation, right? I wanted people to give me attention, to know I was cool, all right? But, I have some pictures from my Instagram in middle school and high school. That's Zaire.
That's me.
Yep, that little kid.
Who's the green guy?
That's me. That's me. My middle school Instagram. Uh-huh. I think one of them. Does one of them say? Does one of them say dog? Does that one say dog? The one on the right side, dog. That's Zaire again. So that's. I mean, I was posting these. Obviously, you guys don't think I'm cool, like because of those pictures. But back in the day. Back in the day when I was posting those, I thought people were commenting, people were liking them, all right? I was hitting like 80 likes, and it was making me feel good. It was...
That's pretty good.
Thank you. It was making me feel good, right? But this Instagram, the social media, this reputation that I worshipped, that I thought would make my life whole, it cost me something, right? A lot of those, like on my... It cost me like authenticity and realness. Because I would put not just filters like on the photos to make them look cooler, but also a lot of the captions that I would write. Like it wouldn't just be something like honest from my heart, but it would be something that I thought would make other people think I was cool. Right? It cost me like realness. It cost me realness and authenticity. I had to like sacrifice those things in order to retrieve what I thought that social media, what Instagram, what these likes would offer me. And I think that goes with any of the things that we worship, right? When we worship our reputation or friends or knowledge or school or being good at something, it all costs us something. There's always something that we have to give up in order to receive what we think that it promises us. To have a reputation, to have a good reputation, we often have to give up maybe being kind to others. Because we need to make jokes at other people's expenses for other people to like us. We have to maybe not be as honest with others about who we are because we wonder if we're actually honest with someone about who we are. Are they going to actually like us? Are they going to think that we're cool? Or to have the perfect grades, we have to sacrifice our time and our energy. We have to give those things to that instead of to other places, to other people. Right, there's always a sacrifice. As we worship these things in our lives, there's always a sacrifice. There's always something that we have to give in order to receive what we think that it promises us, right? But as we read this passage and we see that God is not like the other gods, God is still not like the other things that we worship today. Because God doesn't require us to be any sort of way or any sort of person for him to allow us to know him, to be his children. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can sacrifice. There's nothing that you can do or sacrifice. There's no one that you can be. You can't be perfect enough to earn God's favor and love in your life. But God gives that to you simply because that's who he is and because of Jesus. There's no requirements to come to God and be a part of his family. But as part of God's family, he will transform you and make you more like Jesus. And this is ultimately how he provides, right? We talked about God being provider. This is ultimately how God provides for us, by making us more like Jesus. There's no way that we have to earn his blessing or his favor in our lives, but we simply get to come and be a part of his family, and he transforms us and makes us more like Jesus. So as you leave tonight, as you go to school tomorrow, as you're thinking about, as maybe tonight, as you've thought about maybe the things that you worship in your life, and it's not always, these things aren't always bad in your lives, right? There's things like having good grades is good. Trying your hardest is good. A lot of these things are really good. But when they take the place of something ultimate, of God, who God is not like those other things where you have to try and try harder and give up all these, sacrifice all these things to earn the blessing of whatever you're worshiping. God is not like that. And so just think about this, as you think about those things, and maybe as you're tired or exhausted of trying to earn all of the whatever it is that you're trying to earn from whatever you care about most, think about this. You can come to God and he will provide, simply because that is who he is. And he is like no other thing. He's like no other person. He's provider simply because that's who he is. Let me pray, and then we'll be dismissed. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you. Thank you that you do provide for us, that you do love us, simply because that's who you are. We thank you that you are unlike any other thing or any other person, in that you don't require us to be so spectacular or amazing to earn your favor. But in our darkest moments, in our most messy lives, you love us and you hold us and you welcome us into your family. We ask that you would transform us and make us more like Jesus, and remind us that you are provider and you are like no other. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.